Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
2 Kings chapter number 2 this morning. How many of you that are on Facebook saw my little post about what I was preaching on today? Anybody? Jennifer did. And several of you did. Amen. All right. And so 2 Kings chapter number 2, if you would please. And if you didn't see that, then by all means, you pay attention this morning. I'm preaching on the subject, give me a double. Everybody likes a little double, don't they? I was thinking about that, Brother Steve. Me and you are kind of in the same ballpark, maybe a different base or two. But how many of you remember double cola? Y'all remember? Anybody remember double cola? You remember double cola? Now we're telling our age. You remember double colas? Yeah. And then, of course, yesterday we had to pull through McDonald's and got a McDouble. Y'all had a McDouble before, right? You never had a McDouble? Somebody go get her a hamburger. Amen. Everybody likes a double. Here, 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 1. We have this story of these two prophets of God, Elijah and Elisha. We have these two men of God, and one of them has a strange request. He says, I want a double. I want more than what you got. Let's begin reading. We're going to read verse 1 down through verse 14, and here's what the Bible says. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they both went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. Now, what the conversation is doing, Elijah is telling Elisha, I want you to stay here. I'm going down to Gilgal. And Elisha says, nope, I'm going with you. And Elijah says, now, you just stay here. I'm going to Bethel. And he's like, nope, I'm going with you. And the prophets of God had told Elisha, you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today. How many of you know how Elijah went to heaven? Went in a whirlwind, didn't he? Chariot, in a whirlwind. And there was one other man in the Bible, if you study your Bible, that have not tasted death. Who was that other man? Enoch. Enoch was translated. The Bible said in Genesis that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now, for those of you that's coming on Sunday nights, I hope that you will. Now, tonight we'll not be studying Revelation. But when we get into Revelation and we get into the two witnesses, I believe that the two witnesses, now there's some discrepancy over this, I believe the two witnesses are going to be Elijah and Enoch. And the reason being, the Bible says that, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Everybody is going to taste death unless they go up in the rapture, but these two men, I believe, are going to come back and they're going to be slain. They're going to taste death. Anyway, you come on Sunday nights and you'll study that with us. But here, let's go back here. So Elisha wants to go with Elijah everywhere he's going. And so let's continue reading. And so in verse number 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Sons of the prophet said, that were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from him, from your head today? He answered, yea, I know it. Hold you peace. Elisha said to him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as the soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters that were divided thither and thither, so the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of, say it with me everybody, of what? Spirit. I want a double portion of the Spirit that is resting on you. Let me just say right here, in our churches are today, one of the most missing ingredients. You could have the best choir. You could have the best singing. You could have the best preaching. You could have the fanciest of facilities. But without the power of the Holy Spirit of God, it is all in vain. We have come in 2018 to a point in majority of Christendom today. We have come to that point of figuring we can do it on our own without God. We've got a good plan, and we've got a good program, and we've got a good choir, and we've got a good building. And so really we don't need, my friend, may I say to you, the most important thing is not the building, it is not the choir, it is not the music, it is not the orchestra. The most important thing in any worship service is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, we might as well close up and go home and watch football. I'm not watching football this year, by the way, but anyway. You see what I'm saying? Do you folks understand? Let me ask you this, and don't raise your hand at this point, but how many of you would like to see your prayers answered? You'd like to see your loved ones saved. You'd like to see real revival break out in Ramseur or Franklinville or Asheboro. Well, it's not going to come through a program or a plan or a special speaker or special music. It's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Elisha realized, hey, I want the power of God. I want a double dose of what you got. Read on. Verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. In literal, in the Hebrew, it's like this. Elisha, I really don't know if I can do that, what you're asking, because that's something that God's got to do. Amen? You have the best education. I'm not knocking education. I thank God for education. But if that's all you got is just education, you're missing the mark. And it's not in a man. It is in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. All right, let's read on because we got a lot to say. All right, so here we go. And so in verse 10, he says, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes, rent them in two pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. One other verse of Scripture. Write it down. And that is John 10:10. Let me read it to you. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come. Now listen. I am come that you might have life, but not just any life. But he said, and that you may have it more. What? Abundant life. Not just living, not just existing, but abundant life. A life that is full. A life of more. Let's pray, if you would, please. Brother Rodney, would you pray for me right now? Amen, amen. How many of you have seen the Geico commercial with the Cowboys? Have you seen that one? You've seen that one, have you? I know Eddie Kibitz seen it. Where are you, Eddie? Because his wife picks at him about. How many of you have not seen the one with the Cowboys? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Well, let me explain it to you. Explain it. So this one cowhand, he says, I switched to Geico and I got more. And he's got a belt buckle about like this. Oh, now you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so the other cowboy, they pan over to the other, you got more? And then when he pan back, he's got a belt buckle about like this. Yeah, I got more. I switched and I got more. And he said, that's good. You got more. And he goes back and he's got another belt buckle. And it's about yay big. And the other guy's like, you got more. And when they finally pan back to him, all you can see is his head. And he's got this belt buckle. It's huge. I mean, you know, it's like what Eddie Kibitz wears. It's that takes two hands. Everybody wants more. I remember Brother Steve growing up. And I remember the days of glass Coca-Cola bottles. And we'd go to Roger Tate's store, and he had a Smiling Jack cookies, and you could get a Coca-Cola for a nickel back then, right? Y'all remember them days? But it was one of them little old 6 ounce Coca-Colas. You remember them, Teresa? Little old 6 ounce Coca. I mean, just two or three swallows, and it's gone. But then came the day that Roger Tate got in 16-ounce bottles of Coca-Cola. Wow! 16 ounces of liquid gold. But now today, you stop by a convenience store, they got 32 ounces, 44 ounces, 54 ounces, half a gallon, you know, in a cup, you know, you walk, a big gulp, you know, and the things. Hey, I took my son to the doctor the other day and walked up to the receptionist. Truth, walked up to the receptionist and the little lady sitting there, and she had a mug. I'm one of them polar mugs or whatever. I'm not exaggerating. It was about that big. It had took a strong man with two hands to lift that thing up to his mouth. And that little lady sitting there with a straw stuck in it, I thought, man, you know, everybody wants more. Right? Everybody. Don't y'all want more? Well, bless your heart. Listen, how many of you really want more? I mean, we always are looking for something that's more. Christian life should be a life where we're not satisfied where we're at. If you are satisfied where you're at, something's wrong. You ought to be growing in the Lord. You ought to be working this way. You ought to be striving a little bit. Listen, you ought to be a better Christian this year than you were last year. And we ought to be wanting more in our Christian life. We want more of the power of the Holy Spirit. We should. Amen? Now listen to me. When you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost of God, but He just didn't get all of you. You hear me out? You got Him, but He didn't get all of you. Simply because if you think back in your Christian life, there's some things that you used to do probably after you got saved, and now you say, hey, God's dealt with me and convicted me, and I've grown. I'm more in tune with Him today than I was. And friend, when it comes to having God's power, we ought to want more. Not be satisfied where we're at. We want more. Israelites had this problem. When they came out of Egyptian bondage and they got to the very edge of the promised land, they formed a committee of 12. And they sent these 12 men out to spy the land. And when those 12 came back, 10 of them came back and said, whoo, there's giants in the land. We'll never be able to do this. Oh, woe is me. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, hey, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, they got grapes over there as big as basketballs. Skin them and make a swimming cap out of them. Those two men said, we want a little bit more. 10 of them said, we can't do it. And there was a group of those Israelites that said, we can't. And so what we're going to do, we're just going to plop down and we're going to stay right here on the border of the promised land. We're not going to go in. We're not going to do battle with those giants. We're not going to fight those giants. We're just going to camp out right here. And they never possessed the land. A group of them didn't. But there was a group that said, we want more. We want that land flowing with milk and honey. We want to go in. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some fights. But there's going to be some blessings along the way. I want more of the blessings of God. How many of you want more of the blessings of God? Pay attention this morning. Elisha saw this man, Elijah. If you want to write this down, I looked it up just to be sure. And he said, I saw the miracles that you did. By the way, does God still work in miracles today? Yes. Whose fault is it if we don't see a miracle? Absolutely. Yeah. Y'all doing a good job talking to me. Elijah, write this down or remember it if you want to. Elijah performed 14 miracles in his ministry. Elisha performed, you got it, 28. So did God honor that request? And if you asked, He will receive. If you want more, God will give it to you. Right? Our problem is we get very content with where we're at. We get very content with just kind of existing. But friend, what did Jesus say? I'm come that you might have life, but bless your heart, not just existing, but life abundantly. Life to see God work. Life to see miracles of the Lord. Life to see people change. Life to see souls saved. Life to see hearts made anew. Oh, wouldn't you like to see that? All right, well, here, save a little bit of time. Elisha wanted a double portion of the Spirit of God. And Elijah said, if you want that, you got to go with me. He was putting him to the test, Rodney. He was saying, well, you just stay here. Elisha said, nope, I'm going with you. And there are four places, follow me along, that Elijah went. And if you're going to have the double portion, you're going to have to go these four places. First of all, notice the first place that they went, and that is a place of Gilgal. Well, I don't have a lot of time. Well, let me do. I skipped over something. I got it. What is a double portion? Okay, let's back up a second. So that you got to understand this. Write this down or remember this somewhere. The double portion refers back into the Old Testament. It refers to a Jewish family when the father dies, that the children would inherit his estate. They would receive an equal portion of goods, except for the firstborn. The firstborn would receive a double portion of goods. So if you were the first child in the family and your father passed, not only would you get an equal share, but you would get a double share of the father's estate. Now, how does that play out in our Christian life? Once we have come to Christ, we're no longer outsiders. We're no longer begging God from the crumbs from the table. We are now sons of God and daughters of God. And because of Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, and because we are saved, we now have the right to have everything that Jesus had. Let that sink in for just a minute. How much power did Jesus have? All power. How much power does that you have? Somebody's a little weak on that. Turn with me just a second. I'll prove this to you. Don't take my word for it. Everybody turn John 14:12. John 14:12. Hey, we don't have to rush today because the food's already out yonder, right? And we got a microwave, so if it gets a little cold, we can heat it back up. John 14:12. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. All right, here's what the Bible says. Jesus said this. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. How many believers we got in here this morning? Amen. He that believeth on me, the works that I do. Are y'all reading this with me? Read it with me, everybody. If you got, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, we could put a period there, but it's not. There is a semicolon. And it reads on, and greater works. Can y'all read that? Say that with me. I can't hear you. And what? Jesus said, he that believes on me, the same works that I have done, you're going to do, but greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. Let that sink in for just a second. A full life, an abundant life, a life of more. Jesus has promised, he that believes on me, not only, you've seen the works that I do, and the power of God that rested on Jesus now rests on us. The Bible said the same power that raised him from the dead now lives inside of us. And friend, let me just go on record and say this. It's not Jesus' fault if we don't see the things, the miracles that we ought to be seeing. It is because we don't have enough of God's power on us. But would to God this morning there be a group of people that say, I want the double portion. I want the Spirit of God like I've never had it in these last days. Pour it out. Amen. I've read stories and I just long for those kind of days. I read about Charles Finney, who walked in a factory in Utica, New York. He was there just to tour the factory. And Finney had so much of the power of God on him that as he walked in the factory, the people that were working, they would just run this factory. All of a sudden, they got under Holy Ghost conviction, and they stopped, and they got under conviction. They said, Mr. Finney, would you preach to us? And they shut the factory down, and he preached, and people got saved, and they started a church because of the number of people got saved in that factory, Utica, New York. When you walk in a place, if we have that kind of power of God on us, people around us are going to know it, right? You walk in. I like what Brother Steve said a while ago. I asked him, I said, you guys primed and pumped, ready to go tonight? He said, we're ready to go, but most of all, how did you say it? Because the Because the Lord's already here. Amen. Don't have to bring him. He's already here. When you walk in them doors back under, we ought to be able to feel the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
Because we're bringing him with us. Well, let me give you here. All right, four things here. Four places. We'll make this quick this morning. Number one, if you're going to have the power of God and you're going to have more of the power of God, four places you've got to go. Number one, Gilgal. Look there in verse number one. The first place that Elijah went was Gilgal. This is the place of salvation. It speaks of salvation. If you're going to have God to work in your life, let me say something to you right here. I hear these stories many times. People talk about, well, I prayed and I did this and so forth. My friend, if you're lost without Jesus, the only prayer that God will ever hear is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You got to start on first base before you go to home plate. You can't address the Father by saying, hey, God, I need your help unless you're saved. And the first place is a place of salvation. And we've got folk today that need to come by the way of the cross. We need to keep preaching the blood of Jesus. We need to keep saying the only way to heaven is through the shed blood. It doesn't matter how good you are. It matters what Jesus did on the cross. A lot of people go through life unsure of their salvation. Are y'all listening? If you cannot right here sitting in this room right now answer this question, if you died right now, do you know you're going to heaven? If you cannot answer that affirmative, and I'm talking about not have to sit there and think about it, not have to sit there and depend on somebody else's answer. I'm talking about, do you know? And the Bible said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know you're saved. If you don't know it, it's time to know it. It's time to make sure before you breathe your last breath, before you get to that point of dementia, before you get to that place of unresponsiveness, before you get to that place where they're having to shock you to bring you back to life. Friend, you best know that you're saved. And the first place is Gilgal. You'll never have the peace of God until you know him as the Lord. Number two, look in verse 2. The second place they went together was Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. The house of God should be a house of worship. It is a place. Why do we come to church? I hear this all the time, Brother Rodney. Well, I can worship God just good out here in the field with my shotgun. I can worship God just as good out here as I can in the church house. I can worship God just how good. Out here, I'm getting close to nature. And I got my fishing rod, and I'm out here enjoying the birds singing and the green grass, and I can worship God. Why do we come to church? Well, I hope it's not to see and be seen. We come to church to do what? Worship. Now, granted, we could worship out there. We don't have to be in church to worship. But, friend, let me guarantee you one thing. You'll worship God a whole lot better inside the church than you will outside the church. And that's why Jesus gave himself for the church. And the house of God should be a place of worship. In troublesome times, it is a place of prayer. Look what the Bible said in Judges chapter 20. Well, you don't need to turn there. In troublesome times, the people went to Bethel to ask God to help them. And friend, what is the best place you can find help? It's not out yonder in the beer hall. It's right here in the house of God. Somebody comes in and says, preacher, I'm burdened. I need some help. I need somebody to pray with me. Friend, listen, there's folk here. We'll gather around you. We'll pray with you as we did sister right here. She said, I want the people to anoint me with oil and pray. And here just a few Sunday nights ago, we did that. And I still like what Brother Eddie Kivett said. He said, when you pop that top off of that oil, he said, the Holy Ghost got out of that bottle. And this dear sister right here, you ask her right now, are you healed? Y'all hear that? Hey, did y'all hear that? Say amen. Amen. You come to the house of God for prayer. You come to the house of God to worship. If you're going to have a double portion, you've got to be able to worship God and come to the house of God and be able to pray and seek the face of God. By the way, you'll never get it all. A lot of people, you say, well, so-and-so, they come to the altar every service. Well, praise God for it. Amen. You know what they're wanting? They're wanting more. They got a little belt buckle, but they want one like this. Amen? They got a little 6-ounce drink, but they want a 44 guzzler. Can y'all say amen with me? When Jacob met the Lord at Bethel, he had a life-changing experience. God changed him from a deceiver to a prince of God. Number three, look in verse 4. Third place. Verse number 4 says, and Elisha said to Elisha, tarry here, I'm going to Jericho. Elisha said, I'm going with you. What is Jericho? This speaks of the trials in our lives. I wish I could tell you this morning when you get saved, that you'd be free from trials. But the truth of the matter is, when you get saved, the trials are not sent to destroy you. The trials are sent to make you stronger. You'll never know how strong you are until you're put to the test. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Nobody enjoys those trials. Nobody enjoys walking through that dark valley. But I will guarantee you one thing. The trials will make you a better Christian, or they will make you a bitter Christian. Some people, they just don't get it. They think that life ought to be a bed of roses. They think they ought to, you know, wake up in the morning and not have an ache or a pain, and they ought to have just money in the bank, and they ought to be free from all kind of problems, and they all of a sudden they start blaming God for everything. Friend, let me say, God told here, he said, I want you to go to Jericho. Jericho was the most important city in the Jordan Valley, according to Numbers chapter 22. It was the strongest fortress in Canaan. Y'all remember the story of Joshua and Jericho, don't you? I've looked at pictures of what artists, their rendition of Jericho. We think Jericho just a big high wall. If you really looked it up, you would find that there was like a mound of earth, and then there was a fortification, and then there was one wall, and then there was like a moat, and then another wall. It was an impenetrable fortress. I mean, you would feel safe on the inside. And God told Joshua to do a very unlikely thing. I want you to march around the city for 6 days, and on the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times, and then I want you to blow the trumpet. Seems strange, but they obeyed God. And what happened when they blew that trumpet? The walls of Jericho, those impenetrable fortress, came tumbling down. And friend, get this morning. If you're going to have the blessings of God, if you're going to know what it is to walk with the Lord, if you're going to have the power of God on your life, you have got to go to Jericho and deal with the trials in your life. They're going to come. Won't they come? Won't they come? Won't they come? They're going to come. Some of you say, I've been there for years. Oh, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Just think what the power of God can do when you encounter those trials. You'll never be used of the Lord until you learn how to deal with the trials in your life. This is where a lot of people miss it. This is why some people get out of church. This is why some people turn their back on God. This is why some people say, if that's what it is, I'm not going back. I'm not reading my Bible anymore. I'm not going back to that church because of the trials in my life. I figure this thing ought to be a bed of roses. Friend, let me tell you one thing. You may have to go from deep, dark valleys. You may have to go through some cancer treatment. You may have to go through some dark issues in your life with your children. But friend, rest assured that when you go through those trials, it is making you a stronger believer. And here's another point that Israel learned. That my Lord will fight every battle for me. I don't have to fight. And if when I get in the flesh and if I start fighting, then I'm missing out. The Lord my God will go before me. He will fight all of my battles. He hadn't lost one. He's not going to lose any. He is the captain of my salvation. All I got to do is just follow him, Brother Steve. And he will be the victor over every trial, over every devil, over every imp of hell. I am more than a conqueror. Fourth of all, the last place they went was Jordan. Jordan has always been a picture of death. The more power of God that you want in your life, the more the devil fights you. Can I say that again? Would y'all amen me on that? The more of the power of God that you want on your life, the more the devil is going to fight you. And if the devil isn't fighting you, you might want to just come on down here to this altar and say, Lord, I want the double. I want the double. Reminds me of the Israelites in the wilderness. God brought them out of Egypt. Place of bondage, delivered by the blood. Everything that happened to Israel was a picture of the Christian life. Delivered by the blood, brought out by Moses. And as they got out there in the wilderness, they looked around, Brother Steve. They said, we ain't got nothing to eat. We're hungry. Not hungry, but hungry. By the way, we ain't got nothing to drink. You know what they started doing? Murmuring, complaining, belly aching. Ah, Moses done brought us out here in this wilderness. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to starve to death. We're thirsty, Moses. And they complained. And you know that complaining crowd? Most of them died in the wilderness. They never got into the promised land. That's where a lot of Christians are. Many Christians die without ever entering into a victorious Christian life. Gripe and complain and murmur, bellyache. They never have victory. We'll never amount to anything until we're willing to die to self. Die, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul said, I die daily. Brother Keith, this morning in Sunday school, opening exercises, Paul said to the Colossian church, mortify therefore your members upon this earth, inordinate affections, lasciviousness, concupiscence, adultery, fornication. And Paul said, mortify. You know what that word sounds a whole lot like? Mortify. Say it. It is. And that word in the Greek means to deprive the life out of. Mortician. Mortify. Put to death. Deprive the life out of. Friend, I got news for you. I've said it. I'll say it again. The flesh is the flesh is the flesh. It don't matter. When God saved your soul, he didn't save your flesh. And you have got to crucify this old man. Because this old man wants to do the things that are displeasing to God. And if you're going to have a double portion of the Spirit of God, you're going to have to learn to say no, crucify the flesh, put to death, deprive the life out of. I'll not go there. I'll not look at that. I'm not going to indulge in that. I'm not going to let my Christian liberty be a stumbling block for somebody else. Galatians 2:20 says this. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. By the way, Paul had, y'all got, we got time. Turn to Romans chapter 7 just a second. I want to help you. I hadn't planned on this. Turn to Romans 7. We thank the Apostle Paul was such a powerful Christian. He was. But friend, Paul had a problem with the flesh. Y'all know that? Anybody in here, don't raise your hand. Anybody in here got a problem with the flesh? Well, I'm glad. I'm preaching to perfect people this morning. Amen. See, I don't need this. Paul said in Romans 7, 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal." Carnal, fleshly. Sold under sin. Now watch in verse 15 how he describes this. "For what that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I." You say, what's he saying about that, preacher? How many of you, put this in redneck English, how many of you have a desire to serve God, you want a double portion of the Spirit of God, you want the power of God, but you've got a problem with the flesh? And that flesh pulls you down. That flesh rises up. That flesh is contrary to the Spirit of God. Look what Paul said here, verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not." And here he goes, "For the good that I would, I do not." Hey, listen, you get up, you say, I'm going to just live for God today, and I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to serve God, and all of a sudden something happens and throws you in a tizzy, and you said, "I was planning on doing this, serving the Lord," and look what happened. Paul said, "The things that I want to do, I don't end up not doing them. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing them things." Y'all ever had that to happen to you? The things I want to do, serve the Lord, read my Bible, pray, witness, be an example. The things I want to do, I end up not doing them things. Instead, I end up doing things I shouldn't be doing. Getting mad, and ornery, and ill. Y'all don't have that problem, do you? And you say, "I don't want to be that kind of a person. But the things I don't want to do, I end up doing." Paul had a problem with the flesh. Romans 8:13 says this, "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, but ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh." Back in 2 Kings, and we're finishing up this morning. How does the story end? Look in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. How does this story end? The Bible said in verse 7 of chapter 2, "And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood the view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither. So the two went over on dry ground." Crossed over on dry ground. Didn't even get the feet wet. When it comes my time to cross over, I'll do so without any fear. When it comes my time to cross chilly Jordan, don't weep for me. Because guess what? I'll be having a time of my life. Verse 13. Has a story in. The mantle fell from Elijah. It didn't fall on Elisha. Look what he said in verse 13. He picked it up. Took up the mantle. He had to pick it up. He had to. Here's the clincher. He had to lay claim to it. It's like a Christmas tree. In just a couple, 3 months, we'll have a big old Christmas tree over here. And there's usually presents under the tree. There might be one underneath there that's got your name on it. Might have on there Rodney Robbins. Might have on there Joanne Hill. And you look over there and you say, hey, that's my present. It's got my name on it. And you say, yep, all you got to do is go get it. Yep, that's my present. And it could stay under that tree till Valentine's Day until you go and take it. And friend, you've got to lay claim. Whatever it is that you ask God for, you've got to believe and that He is able to provide it. And second of all, you've got to lay hold on it and by faith claim it to be yours.